time, please walk and do not run. All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 2 this morning. Revelation chapter 2. Now, this is one of these Sunday mornings where it comes in real cold and all the heaters are just going full blast. And what happens is about halfway through the message, everybody starts losing out because you go to sleep. Get up, open a window, or take a coat off or something. And if you need to, it's always warm up here. And this morning, I want to preach to you out of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And look at verse 17. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. And I'm going to borrow some things from this part of the Word of God to put down on us as Christians to maybe help us today. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, we're in a church, so we need to hear this. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receiveth it. Father, we come before you. We ask for your help, for your mercy. We pray, dear God, that you would bless today. And Father, we do need your help today. God, we need it every day of our life. But Lord, this particular day is your day. It's the day that we as Christians have come together to hear singing that would exhort us to have, Lord, an opportunity to be preached at and to be preached to. But most of all, God, to have you brush next to us, to have you warm our hearts. God, that's the greatest thing that any Christian could ever have happen in his life. And so, Father, today we pray that you would give us attentive ears. God, give me the mind to think, and Lord, give me the mind to read the Scriptures, and the mind, Father, to preach the things you've laid on my heart. And Father, I pray today, God, as I've looked around and checked it over, God, I believe everyone here today names the name of Christ. Lord, there might be somebody here, though, that has fooled me, but they haven't fooled you. So, Father, I pray in this message there'd be enough of the gospel preached, and Lord, they themselves would get under the mighty hand of conviction and want to escape the fires of hell in their own sin and find the wonderful peace that only you can give. And Father, for the Christians here that are lowly of heart, that are humbled, God, we pray that you exhort them. For those here that are proud and haughty, Lord, we pray that you bring them down. And Lord, we always want to make mention of that Christian that's hurting today, that's having a hard time, maybe thinking about quitting, Lord, and it seems like the battle's too rough for them. Oh God, today may they get the strength that they need just to take another step of faith and go on and help thee. And Lord, we pray that you would bless today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning I want to preach to you about a new name and glory. Now, I've made mention of this message from time to time, but I just couldn't get this message off my mind. I woke up about 3 o'clock this morning, and it was just around me. And so I had 2 other messages I was going to preach. And so this morning, if you've already heard this, then pass it on to somebody else. But I think that you might find something in this message. I hope it will help you. You know, I have a thing about names. Names are interesting to me. I tried to do a genealogy one time with my family. I got discouraged after I found out that my dad's real dad got put in jail. And he was a honky-tonk and a bootlegger and everything else like that. And so I didn't want to find out any more about my family. But there are certain names that are wonderful names. My mother named me Terry because she had married a man that was very handsome and charming named Terry. And she just knew I'd be the same way, I guess. I don't know. But it just turned out, you know. Terry is a wonderful name. I tried to figure out what it meant. Somebody told me one time it meant something of loving or charming or something like that. Well, it fits, you know, I'm sure. But, you know, there's all kinds of wonderful names out there. You take the name Steve. Steve and Stephen, or Steve is short for Stephen. Stephen means a crown. The first man in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that was a martyr was named Stephen, and that means he got a crown for his martyr, for dying for the faith. And so that name means something. The name John means beloved. Now, that's what it means. It don't mean what the world makes it mean, but it means beloved. The word Michael is a wonderful name. You have Michael the Archangel. And there's a lot of sweet names in the Bible that are wonderful names. There's a lot of names through the Chronicles that are wonderful names. Abishai and Zariah. Those are wonderful names. Names sometimes are hard for me to pronounce, but I'd love to hear them read properly, and I love to pronounce them properly. And there's names that mean something to the person that gives you that name. The name Scott, Scotty. Scottish background, so forth. His mother, his dad named him. They did it that with a purpose, maybe a relative in mind. The name Ryan or the name Jared, you know. Ricky looked out and thought brain dead and just named it, you know, and it worked right out for them, that kind of thing. You know, nicknames are funny. My sister Kay, she'll hate me the rest of her life, made me leave the church, but her nickname was Doodlebug. I mean, it was just, we just had a birthday party one time and my mother just called her Doodlebug, and it's just always been. It just, to me, it's always been Doodlebug, you know. If we call her Kay, just because, you know, it sounds better. But Doodlebug, you know, a Doodlebug, you know, and so forth. People have some weird nicknames. I'm not going nicknames, but I got one, this preacher yesterday, that always lets everybody know my nickname, and I hate that name. And some of you know it, but he won't keep me as your friend. He won't stay in this church. Don't tell nobody. But I nicknamed him a long time ago called Fat Boy. And the boy works fine. He calls me that name, and I call him his nickname. And then he never once called me my nickname again, so it works out fine. But nicknames and names in general have names to are descriptive of something that was dear to them. My son, we carried on the tradition of my family. I wanted to name him Terry, but I didn't want it to be his first name, because then it would be like Terry 1, Terry 2, Terry, you know, that kind of stuff. We're just not that rich of a family to have Terry the second or Terry the third. So we wanted to name him a biblical name, and it was a hard toss-up. It was either going to be Nebuchadnezzar or Joshua. We took Joshua, and so his name is Joshua Terry, and we keep it in the family. My sister picked up the same tradition. She has a boy named Raymond Terry. So Terry stays in line. The reason she did that wasn't because of me. She did it for the same reason I did. We love our dad, and so we wanted that love to be expressed in the name that we gave our children. And I hope if the Lord tarries and they have children, that they would express that same love. And then one day they may go back and say, hey, there was a man named Terry that was a good man raising kids and did good by them and hope that he got saved. My mother was loved her dad, and her dad was an alcoholic, but he was a good man, and his name was Gordon, so she called me Terry Gordon. And, you know, I learned all those things, just the genealogies. But, you know, God has a thing in names. God takes great possession in names. There's coming a time, and listen, we as Christians, we have three things promised to us. We have a promise of an inheritance, and we have a promise of a reward. You know what a reward is? A reward is an earned thing. You don't get it by grace, you earn it. And God says if you do certain things down here, you will get an earned reward. If you love the second coming or the rapture as your blessed hope, you will get a reward for that. If you stay true to God in the midst of temptation and don't quit and become faithful, a faithful Christian, you'll get a crown of life for that. That's a reward. You won't get it by grace. You'll get it by how you go through life and how you fight the battle against the devil and the world and the sin and the flesh. Then there's an inheritance. We get an inheritance. There was a family that told me, in fact, I've got an inheritance. One of the relatives on my wife's side told me that when she passes on, that she's going to give me an inheritance. And I said, great, you know, praise the Lord. And I was trying to not be, you know, my candid self, but I kept wondering, man, she's got real healthy, man. I mean, you know, I'll probably never get that inheritance, but I got an inheritance coming. But I also have an inheritance coming from my Heavenly Father. If you're a Christian, you have an inheritance coming to your Heavenly Father. But we also have a new name coming. That new name will be depictive on how you live your life upon this earth as a Christian. And I want to give you, just throw out some names this morning that are names that I don't particularly think will be sweet names in heaven. Now, imagine yourself, we're in glory now. The sin's all past. We've got a new body. What a song service we'll have every day.
Amen.
You'll have to have a new body to contain. But just suppose you're in heaven and you run across a guy and his name is Adam. Now, Adam is a sweet name. I know a lot of people named Adam, and so if you have a nickname named Adam or your middle name is named Adam, I'm not putting you down in any sense of the word. But what does that name Adam mean? It really has something to do with firstborn or born from the ground. But you know, Adam, as we understand it now, after the fall, being New Testament Christians, we have the Old Testament look back. I understand Adam is really not a good name to be named. You see, the testimony of Adam took on a different effect. You know what Adam's sin was? He listened to his wife. So you're in the portals of glory, and a fellow walks up, and his name's Adam. As a Christian, you know what that's going to tell you? That all the time down here on earth as a Christian, he listened to his wife. Now, ladies, don't get mad at me this morning. I've got seven men's names down here and very few ladies. In fact, if you read the Bible, there are very few women in the Bible that have bad names. Bad names. In fact, some of the women that have bad names, God changes those names. God has a special place for women, and we understand that. But I'm kind of picking on the men, but I'm kind of throwing the thing out in general. So Adam followed his wife. So if you're following your wife, Christian, you may have the name of Gomer. I'm trying to name nobody named Gomer in the church. The name's Gomer. And you get to heaven after you get your reward, your inheritance, then God's going to give you a hidden rock, and you're going to turn over and he's going to say, Adam. And you're going to look at that thing and say, I mean, for all eternity, you walk around with the name Adam, and everybody's going to know that, hey, you followed your wife all the time. She told you to sit down, you sat down. She told you not to go to church, you didn't go to church. Hey, listen to me, man. God says you're the head of the house, and ladies, you ought to let them be the head of the house. Say, they're an idiot. Well, what does that make you? Amen? We're all in the same boat. But you ought to follow that man. You ought to be with him and pray for him and help him out. Do all that you can. And don't ruin a good name for your husband in heaven with the name Adam. Then, you know, another name I don't think would be a good name would be the name Cain. I don't think that's a good name. I don't think Adolf Hitler is a good name. I don't think Adolf is a good name. Or any of those things. And now, if you're German, I probably offended you because Adolf is probably a respectable name. But if you check the figures, If you check the Gallup poll after World War II, very few Germans were named Adolf. In fact, a lot of them cut that name out because of what it represents. You see, names represent people's lives. They represent characteristics and people's personalities and what they've done in life. Cain, you know what his sin was? He killed his brother. He didn't kill a friend. He didn't kill an enemy. He killed his brother. So in the portals of glory, you're walking around and you run across a guy named Cain. And while you may have never killed anybody physically, but in the spiritual sense, the Bible says he that hated his brother is a murderer. And up in glory, you walk around, you run across somebody named Cain, you're going to have perfect knowledge. You're going to know right away that this fella was a guy that always backstabbed the Christian brother. Was always the guy that just hated him and would do anything he could to destroy him. And God knew it, and God gave you the name Cain. And listen, for all eternity, everybody in the glory knowing about it. And you know, the Bible tells us that the earth is not just the only place, but we're going to populate outer space. And so wherever you go and you got the name Cain, everybody's going to know that you were a murderer of a Christian brother. Boy, what a terrible thing that is. Then they go on, I don't think this name is a very good name, Ishmael. You know who Ishmael is. Let me refresh your memory a little bit. Ishmael is where Abram and Sarai got together, and God promised Abraham seed, and God said that you're going to be blessed of all generations, and the whole world is going to call you blessed because through Abraham being the first Jew and the father of Jews, Jesus Christ is coming through. But Abraham lost faith, and his wife came up with a plan, and he agreed with it, so he's just as much as his fault as he is, or she is. And so they got a fellow named Ishmael from a second wife or a concubine. And this guy, Ishmael, caused Abraham 13 years of lost fellowship with the Lord. Check it out. It's in Genesis. And Ishmael is representative of your own plan and not God's plan. And boy, Christians get into that stuff all the time. Oh, Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra, he gets up, he sang a song and got cool on the record. I did it my way. Boy, what a bad testimony. What a bad... I mean, would it be something you're up here before glory, the judgment seat of Jesus Christ? All of a sudden, you break out the song and dance and say, God, I did it my way. And God says, okay, Ishmael, for the rest of your life, they're going to know that you did it your own way. And you know, you ever stop thinking about the judgment seat? I've said it before, but it's worth and very saying it again. Is you're standing before somebody who is the personification of truth. He says, I am the truth. And when you stand before him, you won't be able to do anything but tell the truth. Well, what are you going to do when he says, why didn't you serve me? And all of a sudden, out of your mouth comes, I didn't want to. I mean, you're going to try to grab the words and put them back in your mouth because you've lied all your life anyhow. And you're going to sit there and try and just have the truth come out. And God says, why did you do that? And you say, because I wanted to do it. It was my plan. I wanted to do it. Why did you go off in this direction? I wanted it. It was my plan. And I want to help God out. There's going to be a lot of preachers that stand before God and God's going to name them Ishmael. And I'll tell you why. It comes through the Bible. They're always trying to help God out by correcting the book of the Greek and the Hebrew, man. And you don't need to correct this book. You just need to reread it and let it correct you. There are a lot of preachers stand there that day, and God called them Ishmael because they had their own plan and their own way. There'll be a lot of preachers stand there because God has a certain way that a church is supposed to grow. And you don't have to compromise the Bible and bring in worldly music and worldly entertainment just to get people in. That's not God's way. God never did that. God never intended it. A lot of preachers do it. You know why? Because they want their names in lights. Buddy at the judgment seat. They'll get their names, and I'd be a big bonfire. I mean, you ever... A fire is fascinating. We have a fireplace, and since it's a cold spell, we burn every stick of wood we can. We went and bought that little game, what's the name, Agenda? And it's where you pull out... Man, we was hurting for kindling, and I was about ready to burn that thing. Man, just get a fire stove. We were needing a fire. But you know, you get a good fire stoked in a fireplace, and you watch it. It's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, the different flames, they never follow the same thing twice. I thought, boy, at the judgment seat, I hope I don't like fire that much when I see something, a bonfire. Now, the other day I found, we had a good fire going, been going about 7 hours. And I went out and got a piece of wood that was just as dry. And like an idiot, I threw that thing in there and it exploded. I'd never seen a piece of wood explode, but it was so dry and ready to go. And you know, you like explosions, do you? At the judgment seat, when God throws everything you learned and lived for in life through the fire, be a big explosion, come out the other side, and you got a name Ishmael because you did it your way. Boy, I tell you, that's not a good name. I don't know anybody that's ever been named that over in the Eastern world. Maybe there is a lot of Ishmaels. But I know in the body of Christ, there'll be a lot of Ishmaels that will come out of them because they did it their way. Let me tell you another one. Esau. Esau is not a good name. I look at these names when it comes to naming my boy. And by the way, I don't care what you said. God told me my first child was going to be a boy. I just knew that. God just told me. Just like he told me my wife. I'm not saying that I'm a prophet. I'm not saying that I get extra... meditation you don't, but I know I prayed about it and asked God to give me a boy. He just seemed to answer that prayer. So I already had names picked out. And Esau was not a name that I would consider. I read about Esau. You know what Esau did? He sold his birthright. That's right. I mean, he had the right to be the firstborn and have a double portion as a firstborn from Jacob. But he sold it for just a little piece of pottage. He was hungry. You know, a lot of Christians do that. They get to where they sell their birthright to answer prayer. They sell their birthright to serve God. And they'll get out in the world and they get so busy about making money and making all the things they want to make that they forget about God. And boy, at that day, you get a name, Esau. And boy, what a name. You sold your birthright. I mean, you had it all. You could have done something for God. And you've no doubt about it, God, if you'd have kept going on the spiritual level you were, God might have put the call of God on you and made a missionary out of you and made a preacher out of you. And no doubt there's a lot of preachers today that are sitting not in the pews, but sitting home in the television, sitting home in the bars, and sitting home doing all they can do because they sold their birthright to the ministry and did something else. And God says, Esau will be your name for the rest of your life. And brother, you and I will know it. We'll look at them, and you know, I believe that's where the tears will come in. I really do. You know, the Revelation talks about the tears that God has to wipe away. Maybe it's the tears, not of those people that didn't win people to Christ, but maybe it's those tears of that name they had to bear for 1,000 years at least. And they just wiped it away and said, man, my name's Esau. Boy, what a terrible thing that would be. What a terrible thing. Think about it this morning. Let me give you another one. This is a good one. A fellow named Achan. Achan is over, you know, in Joshua chapter 7. And Joshua said, we're going to go and destroy the city of Jericho. And they destroyed the city of Jericho. He said, and don't anybody take any of the money. All the gold and silver and all the weight of gold and all the pearly jewels and all the fine garments, leave them alone. They're God's. You know what Achan did? Achan walked in there and he said, I saw, I looked, and I had to have it. You know what he did? He robbed from God because it already, by the commander-in-chief, Joshua said, hey, it belongs to God. You know what Achan is a reminder of and what Achan will mean in heaven? It'll mean that Christian that robbed God. I mean, you never tithe. I mean, when the plate come by, you had arthritis. You couldn't pick it up. You know, you just couldn't get into the pocket. And when it come by, you kind of sneered at it. And when you come by and you put something in it, you know what it was? It wasn't the tithe. It was just kind of a contribution toward the church. I'll tell you something. The tithe belongs to God. Amen to that? Yeah. People get mad. Maybe that's why we're a small church. Well, hey, I tell you what, man. I'd rather stay a small church with tithing people than have a large church with people that just, you know, come in and you know, just come in and go out. That's all they do. But they just hang around. Never do nothing for God. Hey, give me people that believe God and can trust God with their money, and you'll have something whereby God can do something with it. But he's robbed God. And you know what? It cost Israel a defeat. And you know, it's sad. It really is. When the mission budget in the church goes down, it's sad in the church when the general fund goes down. And you know what's happening? It's not because we're overspending, because listen, we've got a system set up in our church, Brother Sam and I, where if it drops off, we cut it immediately and start cutting the fat off the lamb and get down on a budget. And we have a budget in the church and we stay on it. But you know, it's sad that some of these preachers I talk to, and they can't ever get their people motivated to do anything. All the missionaries they could support. And thank God we got something like 25 missionaries we support. And you know how we do that? We got people that don't want the name Achan tied to it. They've learned to trust God with that money and lay it out there. And listen, I'm not asking you to gamble with God. I'm asking you to do what God tells you to do. What God says to do, just like GE tells you to do. Pay me what you owe me. And listen, folks, we owe God the tithe. Some, I don't believe that. I believe it's free offering. I believe it's love offering. Help yourself. But you ought to check this thing out. Check it out with the people that tithe and the people that don't tithe and see where the blessing's at, because it's there, folks. Achan, I wouldn't want to bet. Now there's one lady's name I got to bring out. I don't think the name Jezebel would be a good name. Do you think Jezebel would be a good name? Is anybody here named Jezebel? Did I miss anybody? I don't think Jezebel is a very good name. And, you know, you hear that a lot of times. People say, well, that woman's a Jezebel. You know what the problem with Jezebel was? She had a mouth. Listen to me. She had a mouth so big that if she smiled, she left lipstick on both ears. She had a problem, man. Now, you don't get mad at me. You ought to get challenged and say, I'm not going to be that kind of woman. I'm not going to be that kind of woman where I open my mouth and slander something. I'm just going to keep it to myself. Yeah, it ought to be that way. Amen? My wife, I think she's one of the most gracious women I know. Brother Bob Harris showed me something a while back that I didn't even think about. He'd been in a church where the pastor's wife caused a lot of trouble. He said, I will tell you, brother. He said, you have a wife that is a compliment to your ministry. Nobody knows who she is. And that's true. The new people come in, they don't know who my wife is, and they try to match me up with everybody. Somebody matched me up with Vanessa one time. they try to match up with my... That's not true. I'm sitting your way. They matched me up one time. Mashed me up one time and never did get my wife. And finally, I think it was one of the men, Steve Crowder, Ed Berry, said, who is your wife? And I brought them over to him. Man, they were astounded. They said, boy, she's lovely. You know, we had the other person picked up for you. But you know, my wife is a kind, and my wife is gracious. We go every Monday through Friday down to the VA hospital. There's a lady down there. I'm telling you, man, this lady, oh, she's got a mouth on her. She starts off talking, and when we leave, she's still talking. I mean, she's the kind of person that there's no period or comma in her conversation. You just have to get up and leave. And the other day, and she just loves my wife. Oh, she thinks she's just great. And I've got to go to take my treatment, so she has to stay there with her, and her husband follows after me. And the other day, when I had to meet the doctor, my wife came over and said to me, and she grabbed my heart real tight and said, "Honey, when you go, I'm going." I said, "I can't handle it. I can't handle it, man." That woman starts off talking about airplanes and winds up talking about strawberry ice cream. I mean, and it all runs together. And the other day, I was sitting there, and a fellow, he knew my name. He knew that I was a preacher. He knew everything about me. I said, "I never met that guy." She said, "And we knew exactly what happened. She done filled everybody in on what. I got a scar from here to here, you know. I got 12 more days of treatment. We're from Ventura. I mean, everything about it. You know what? Hey, God help you, folks. God help you, ladies. You know, one of the greatest things you could do as a woman, and honestly, and I'm not being to be mean to you, but I'm just trying to give you some Christian grace. It's when men are around, learn to just know your place. I had to fellowship with a preacher one time, and every time I fellowshiped, he brought his lovely wife. And I loved the lady. But you know, him and I could never talk because she was always adding in everything. And it's not that I was bad. And Brother Ed Wadeney went with me one time. And Brother Ed Wadeney sat there and I could see him. He was red-faced. He was just so frustrated by the fact that every time we said something, she had to give a comment or a verse or something like that. And she'd always embarrass her husband by saying, "My husband is really an idiot." Oh, I mean, just... And there was no grace to that woman at all. And you know, I really felt sorry for that preacher. But I tell you, folks, women, that's not the way it ought to be. You ought to be sweet and spicy and everything nice and not have anything to do with this constant bickering. And we don't have a whole lot of problems with that. I'm just making mention of the fact that we don't want to have any problems with that. The women are a great blessing in our church. I've said it many times. It's been a while since I've said it. But we wouldn't have a nursery if it wasn't for women. We wouldn't have music if it wasn't for women. We wouldn't have flyers if it wasn't for women. We wouldn't have a communion service if it wasn't for women. Women do all that stuff. And so women keep that sweet spirit. And just remember, there's 3 days to communicate. Telephone, telegraph, and tell a woman. Don't let you be a part of that. Amen? Keep that thing different. And keep your place among women and among men. I'll tell you another one that's not a good name. Absalom is not a good name. Absalom was a beloved child of David the king. And you know, and David looked out, and David was a man greatly favored of God, as we learned in Sunday school. But Absalom was David's, it was his pride and joy. The Bible says that Absalom had hair, and he combed his hair, and the weight of this hair was talents, man. 10 talents when he cut it. And Absalom was beautiful. Look, he was much like David. He was a handsome man. But Absalom became the rebellious child. He became that rebellious person against the king. Some of you young people, let me tell you something. If the rapture sounds now, you go home as a teenager, what kind of name will you bear in eternity? Would it be Absalom, the rebellious child? What about you as an adult? What kind of name will you bear? Would it be Absalom, and everybody knows that you're the rebellious one? You rebelled against the king. The king wanted you to do this, but you rebelled and said, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it." That's not a good name to have. I'll tell you another name that is not good to name anybody, and very few people have ever named this. If you ever know of anybody, you ought to mark it down who it is and get their name and address, or rather address, and that's Judas. You know what Judas' sin was? He betrayed the one that loved him. And he betrayed him with a kiss. I can't think of any more despicable thing, than somebody that's close to you, moves up, gives you confidence, and then betrays you, not with a stab in the back, but with just a sweet kiss. "Oh, he's a good preacher, but..." No, watch out. "Oh, he's a good fella, but..." Hey, did you notice how many keys that the piano player missed? Did you notice she's got a run in her leg? Did you notice that? Hey, did you? You don't have one, do you? have you ever noticed that? You know, get up here and Brother Bob, I appreciate Brother Bob, he's a good reader. You get up here and say, "Did you notice, Bob? Doesn't he get a little carried away with that reading?" You know, all that kind of stuff. They didn't say that about you, Bob. You know, they just, all that kind of stuff that goes on. Did you know the preacher? Do you know what he had? Did you see those pair of boots? Isn't that a dumb little girl? Do you see that dumb hat he wore? You see, they're in clothes and they're sweet. "Oh, I love the preacher, but..." You better watch out. Billy Goat religion. You get away with this. Now I want to give you some names that are wonderful names in the Bible. And some names I'd really like to be named. Abraham. You know what Abraham was? He was called Friend of God. Boy, that's a beautiful name to have. That's a beautiful name to name a child. Friend of God. Abraham, man. Another name is Joseph. You know what Joseph was? Joseph was beloved of his father. Man, and he's one of the greatest types of Christ in the Old Testament. Another name is Jeremiah. Boy, Jeremiah was a far breather. He loved God. He stood fast. He didn't compromise. And he was solid for God. He was real. It'd be a wonderful name when he got home to glory and God says, "No longer will your name be Terry or John, but your name's going to be Jeremiah because you stood true. I tell you another name, and really it's my favorite name in the Bible, and it's Joshua. You know what Joshua means? It means Jehovah saves. Boy, wouldn't that be something if you got home to glory? And God says, because you were a witness for Christ, because you always let people know that Jehovah saves, your name will be Joshua for all eternity. People look and say, that guy was a soul winner. You can tell it by the fact that his name is Joshua. Another one, David, was a pretty name. David was called the apple of God. Imagine that. The apple of God's eye. Boy, walk around in church and say, my name is David because I was the apple of God's eye. Boy, what a blessing that is. The name John, that's a wonderful name. Beloved of God. The name James. James, boy. You know, there's three men in the Bible that you got to just study, and that's John, Peter, and James. There are three representatives of what Christians are. Peter was very vocal. Ricky Vernon probably get the name Peter. He's fast to speak. He's fast to get something going, to get without thinking sometimes, to get things far. That's the way Peter was. And he was the first one to praise God. Man, that's the way Peter was. You know what John was? John was a weeper. Boy, John just sat there and there'd be a song service and he'd just weep. He couldn't shout because he just weep. Tore up all the time. Loved God. No, James. James got a guy sitting there and they're running all over the place and he just looks around. Yeah. And you think, well, he's dead as a doornail. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with him. That kind of reminds me of James a little bit, too. But he don't do nothing, see? He just, yeah, it's all right. Boy, let me tell you something. When it comes time to die, James was the first one. He stood up and said, I'll go. You find in Acts chapter 12, before Peter died, before James, before John, James is the one. Stands up and he died for the faith. He didn't quit. Herod had to kill him. He had to kill him to stop him. He wasn't emotional. He didn't weep a lot. Brother, he stood fast. But James is a wonderful name to have. In fact, our Bible is called King James. What James means? It means Jacob. Well, Jacob goes right back to the Bible. And Michael. Well, that's a beautiful name. Michael the Archangel. Boy, stand up. Boy, walk around in heaven with a name Michael. What a thing that is. Then Moses. Boy, what a name. You don't hear a lot of people named Moses. Now, you see some black people named Moses. And I'm not picking on black people. But you know, I tell you what, if you want to really check biblically straight, check out a lot of people in the South that are black, and they got names like Jeremiah, they got names like James, and so forth and so on. And Moses is a popular name, drawn out of water. But that's not really what it means. As you get over, you know what it is? Moses is the first man in the Bible called the man of God. Boy, what a name to have. Boy, a man of God. That'd be a preacher, I think. Walk around and say, hey, this guy was a preacher. Well, maybe it's just a Sunday school teacher that'll get that name. Maybe it's just a Christian that worked 40 hours a week and beat his head against the wall, paid his bill, raised his family, loved God. And he gets home to glory and God says, Moses, because you were truly a man of God. Well, this morning, I hope I tried to help you. Let's stand together and be dismissed. And here's the thing this morning. You know, you have to make a decision to be saved. And there's something else you got to do. There's all kinds of decisions, but maybe there's a Christian here this morning. You need to make a decision that you're not going to compromise anymore. Maybe some person here this morning, maybe God jumped right on you and said something about some of the slander that you've brought. You ought to do something about that. Or maybe God said something about your compromise. Maybe God said something about you robbing God. Maybe God has said something about your lack of soul. Listen, there'll be names that will represent how you live down here. And I don't know about you, but I've already done it. And I encourage you to do the same thing. This morning, why don't you pray and say, God, is there an area in my life that I need to be improved on? Is there an area in my life, God, where I need some strength? And maybe you've got a blind spot. You can't see it. I guarantee you God sees it. And I guarantee you I may not see it, but God does. And I don't know what it is. None of my business what it is. But I'll tell you something today. You ought not let the opportunity to be challenged by the Word of God as to what kind of name you're going to bear in heaven. Amen? It's an important thing. Let's hear it this morning, and you want to, maybe you're not saved, you'll have a name. You'll be in hell, though, you'll be fooled because you heard the gospel and didn't respond. I believe everybody here is saved, they trust that you are. But if you're not, now's a good time to get saved. You here this morning, are you consecrated to God? I mean, what kind of Christian are you going to be? Let me ask you, are you going to be back tonight? That'll tell you what kind of Christian. You going to be here Wednesday night? When it comes time to passing the offering plate, you going to put the tithe in or you just going to put a contribution? So why are you talking like that? Because your name and glory will bear what it does down here. Listen, if you got a burden for a lost soul, is there some loved one on your heart that's just there, it bugs you and bothers you? Don't give the burden up. Say, God, help me to bear the burden and lead me to Christ. Maybe you're here in the head of your family. There's some areas in your life you need to get straight. Get them straight. Don't get the name Adam. Don't listen to your wife. If your wife won't serve God, then ask God to help her, but you go on and you serve God. Be the leader of the home and lead them by the fact that you're going to be a strong one. You're here and you say, well, I don't have a husband that's following God. Hey, don't be a Jezebel. Be what God wants you to be. That's what is that? Faithful and true to Him. And I guarantee you, you'll win your husband. You'll win. You'll come around. All right, with all that said and done this morning, we're going to bow and pray. With our head bowed and our eyes praying, maybe this morning you'd like to get something straight between you and God. Maybe you'd like to have prayer this morning. Would you just lift your hand up and I'll pray for you. We're going to dismiss it. Anybody at all? Amen. Anybody else? Christians this morning, say, preacher, I don't want to wind up with a bad name. Because I don't want to live a bad kind of Christian life. I want to live a good Christian life that'll be honorable unto God. Say, preacher, but I need help. I'm afraid that I may not have that kind of life, but I want it. Anybody else join this morning? Say, preacher, amen. Amen. Hands all over the place this morning. Thank God. It's good to preach to honest people. And I pray this morning that from your honesty, you'll learn to be honest with yourself and God to do something. Father, you've seen the hands this morning. We rejoice to see them. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the liberty that you've given this morning. Father, I pray if I've said something from the word of God that offended people, then, Lord, I pray, God, would you give them the bond of Gilead to fill it in? Then, Lord, if I said something in my stupidity, Lord, and something vulgar and wrong that offended them, Lord, I didn't mean to. You know my heart. And I pray, God, that you'd help them to get over it. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd help them see that I really love people and really want to be a blessing. Pray, God, that you would help today. These folks have raised their hands. God, my hands are raised on the same thing. Lord, would you help us today? Would you bless us today? God, would you give us such a good day that we want to come back tonight to get more of the strength that we need for the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take that song and sing it. What song is that? 483. Okay, dismiss. Amen. 483. Wonderful name. Will you take the name Jesus Christ? That's the name, I guarantee you. Take the name of Jesus with you. 483 on the first. Let's sing it together on the first.
Take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and the fool. If you will, joy and comfort give you. Take it in wherever you go.
Johnson here, would you dismiss?